Today on Real Radio.
Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, Turkey, I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door to advance the kingdom, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You have kept my word, and you've not denied my name.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in another series taken from a section of chapter 5 where Paul declares that we stand, and I quote, before the judgment seat of Christ. Sobering words indeed. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a series called When Jesus Christ Judges Us.
Whatever you do, what does it say? Do all to the glory of God. Who? You. Me. The ones who stood a moment ago. I was standing with you if you didn't notice. This is to the Christian. Why? Because there's coming a day when we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for the opportunities that he has given us. The second thing in verse 9 is this. He will review our every opportunity, and he's going to ask us, it's going to come up, was Jesus Christ your reason? Was he your reason? Was he your logic? Was he your argument for doing what you did? He's going to look at my heart. He's going to say, Jack, why did you get out of bed in the morning? Why did you study the Bible? Why did you do these things? Why did you go out there on Wednesday? Why did you go out there on Sunday? What was your reason? He's going to look at me. Jack, what was your reason? And if I don't have this answer, if I don't say, Lord, my passion birthed my reason, and my reason was that people may know you, the one true God, that, Lord, to the best of my ability, I avoided at all cost a personality gig that others might hear about you. And I took a stand, Lord, I pray for your word in the face of opposition, because, Lord, I know at the end, it's going to be your appraisal that I'm going to want to hear. That whatever men and women have said about us will be evaporated in that moment, and you and I will stand before God, and we'll have no cheerleaders. Peter is not going to be going, you go, Jack. Paul's not going to be there going, come on, Betty, you can, yeah, well, I'm rooting for you. I voted for you. No. God will look into the depths of our very soul, and he's going to examine the reason why we say what we say, why we do what we do, the things behind us. Behind the actions. And here's the amazing thing. Are you listening? Paul the Apostle said, this is so true in my life, he said, that I don't even judge myself because I'm a human and my assessment of self is error. And Paul said, I don't even care what people say about me in judgment. Did you know that? Christian, listen to me. When people judge you, forget it. Forget about it. Now, look, it's a different thing if the Bible says, look, if you're out sleeping with bubbles and the Bible says you are not to fornicate or commit adultery, look, you're in trouble with God and the Word of God. But if somebody comes up and says, you know what, I don't like you because, you know, you've got a booger in your nose, and I don't like you because you're too tall, you're too short, you're too skinny, you're too fat. Listen, you let that stuff go. Paul says, I don't even entertain that stuff. Worthless. Why? Because there's not a human on the planet or ever has been who's worthy of critiquing your life and your motive and your reason and your logic and your passion. Nobody. Great example is what is reality versus what is Hollywood. I was amazed one time. I saw a very old movie. It was about Peter Marshall's life. You may know about Peter Marshall. It's a good old movie. But the actor was some famous actor, and he played the role of Peter Marshall. And Peter Marshall could preach. And do you know what that Hollywood actor did? He preached in that movie messages that I rewound and listened to again. I'm seriously, because they were so good, and yet it was a Hollywood staged movie. If things can be done on a set and be impressive, but not to God, couldn't things be done right here, right now, to be impressive to you and God have no interest in it at all? God looks down from heaven. And from that distance, he's not blind. It's not out of focus, my heart and my motives and my reason, my arguments. He knows exactly why you and I do exactly what we do. He knows exactly why you and I say what we say. We've got to win. We have to have our name known. We got to be on top. We've got to come through this with a happy face. That's called reputation, and we're not supposed to have one. He says, whether present or absent in verse 9, that is in this world or in the world to come. Right now in our bodies or before the Lord Jesus, the Christian is very aware that he lives between two different worlds. Aren't you aware of that, Christian? That you live between two different worlds. You perfectly can relate to both, by the way. Only you can. As a Christian, you can relate to this world. This world is perishing. And we're out to rescue people with love. And we care for them, and we go after them, and we preach the word of God, or we stick out our hand and pull them from the burning wreckage, right? But we love them. And I understand this. As a non-Christian, I remember hearing people say, oh, you know, I love you. And I'm thinking, what a bozo. You don't even know who I am. How can you love somebody you know? That's stupid. And especially when a man says to a man, I love you. So what are you, sick? What is this? When you're not a Christian, you don't get it. Anybody remember that? Isn't it bizarre, though? We can meet an absolute stranger in 30 seconds in the line at the grocery store and have a bizarre grip on your heart to reach out to them, because it's God's love coming out of you for them. You care about them. Have you seen people? You've seen people that are, they're wounded or hurting, or maybe they're crippled, they're handicapped, something's wrong, they're crying, and you don't even know who they are. And before you were a Christian, you just walk right by. Man, that's a bummer. Right? And then now as a Christian, it's, wait, what? What's happening? What's the deal? How can I help? God does that. It's the Holy Spirit in you. And when you move in that action, think about this. You could be a doctor. You could be a nurse. You could be a fireman, a policeman. If your heart's not right, it's just business. It's just a job. Man, don't you pray. If you have to have surgery, don't you pray. Look, it's one thing to have a Christian doctor. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Listen, I mean this with all sincerity. I don't mean to upset any doctors in here if you're a Christian. But I don't necessarily want a Christian doctor to operate on me. I want the best doctor to operate on me. If he happens to be a Christian, that's awesome. But I tell you what I will want to request. I want a spirit-filled Christian nurse. Because when the doctor's doing his thing, I'm in la-la land. But when I wake up, I want the nurse to be spirit-filled with the gift of compassion and mercy. There's nothing worse than a nurse doing her job. Come here, pull your pants down. Wham! Have a nice day. Ow! No, but man, there's a nurse that can come in, and because they're being led by God, they're gentle, kind, compassionate. And that should be true about every one of us, including a pastor, a fireman, a school teacher, a husband. Whether present or absent. What does this mean? That, listen, this is awesome. As a Christian, Paul is saying, as a Christian, it doesn't matter. Watch. It doesn't matter how you live right now, because it is the same if you had the opportunity to be in heaven today. Did you hear what I said? Carefully. It does matter. It does matter. You didn't hear me. It doesn't matter how you live when you understand you're living between two worlds at the same time, meaning you're the same person present as you will be, the same person absent, that is with the Lord. Church, listen. What's inside of your heart will come out of you in that moment. And so thus, when you think of that, I got happy. I'm bummed about my performance, my actions. I'm bummed about what I do. Have you ever done stuff and you say, why did I do that? Why did I have that lapse of faith when God is so faithful? Why did I panic when He's so good? Or why did I say that when He speaks so kind to me? We all have that. But what's on the inside will someday, without the hindrance of this flesh, without the hindrance of the spirit of this world that is Antichrist, and without Satan and his minions goofing things up, what is on the inside of me, what is on the inside of you who stood a moment ago, is going to come out. And that's good news. Because inside, isn't it, don't we lust for the presence of God? Yes. Don't you want to see Him? Yes. Well, Pastor, it's going to be a nice day today, 82 degrees, the surf's up, it's going to be great. Forget it. We're going to see Him. And the Christian lives for that moment. He's coming. We always say that here. He's coming. He could come today. Why do we say that? Not because we're insane. I mean, we may be insane, but that's not the reason. It's not the argument. It's not the passion for what we're doing. It's because what's on the inside wants to get out. I want to see Him. I want to cut loose from this world. I think it's very clear. Listen, please don't take this wrong. I think it's very clear that Paul managed his life, listen, like a business. Let me explain. Paul conducted his life, now that he was a Christian, like a well-run business, which does what? What does a well-run business do? It produces, does it not? It's successful. It's valued. It's influential. It leaves others better off. Think of that. Your life. I think Paul conducted his life. I think Paul looked at his body. That poor body we talked about a few weeks ago of his. And he said, Lord, this is yours. Spend it however you want to spend it. Every member of my body, everything. Paul is talking his fingers, his eyes, his ears, his private parts, his toes. It's yours. God, it belongs to you. I know, God, I will stand before you as a believer, as a Christian, and you will examine, you will review every opportunity that you bring into my life. And so, Lord, I want to be passionate about that for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to have Jesus Christ as my very reason for why I do what I do. And so you take this body and you use it. Romans 12:1, you know it. You already knew I was going to go there, I bet you. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Did you know that your body, keep the verse up on the screen, watch this, what's going to happen. Did you know that your bodies are instruments of worship 24/7? Did you know that? Your body, my body, it's an instrument of worship. Your body is. You say, not my body, your body. I'm too skinny, your body. I'm too fat, your body. I'm too tall, I'm too skinny, your body. The body you stood with a moment ago is an instrument of worship 24/7. And let me give you something extra here. Those of you who are not Christians today, guess what? Your body is an instrument of worship 24/7. You yield your body to whatever your God or gods are. Is it sex? Is it drunkenness? Is it violence? Worship. No one escapes the art and the act of worship. Nobody. Think of it. Isn't it amazing? Look, by the end of third service, see, first service is fun, but the end of third service, I'm starving. And so many of my third service analogies have to do with food. It's true. I mean, if you come to third service, it's like, man, he's always talking about food. It's because of the lack thereof. Isn't it amazing that when you bite into that fish taco, the black beans and the white rice, you just go over there and say, I want a Pastor Jack's special. That's the deal. We'll go up to the counter and say, I want a Pastor Jack. They'll know exactly what to do. And when you bite into that fish taco that is made by God, it's just amazing. And I go, oh, Lord, thank you for taste buds. Thank you, Lord. It's all working. The brain processing this. I'm worshiping the Lord. He said, no, you're like going, you're going crazy on that taco. No, I'm worshiping God. I'm thanking him for it. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, rain or fog, shine, storm, doesn't matter. Lord, thank you. You may think, well, Pastor, I'm plugged into to a machine right now and I'm in the hospital. You can thank God that you're not plugged into two machines. Well, I am plugged into two machines. Then you can thank God that you're not plugged into three. It never ends. And then you say, what if I die? Then you can thank God that you're with him in heaven forever. Right? Jesus Christ, our reason. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Now, watch this. That's kind of funny, isn't it? By the way, Paul is talking to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians 9. He's talking to the same Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What were they very aware of? They're Greeks, ladies and gentlemen. They're Olympic people. And so he says, do you not know, watch this, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? And somebody's in the back goes, brilliant, Paul. You can't be in a race unless you're running. He's being sarcastic with them. He's saying, Christian, did you stand a moment ago? Well, duh, didn't you see me? Are you running? Well, yeah, we're in this race. See, the moment you stood, you're in a race. But one receives the prize. This is an interesting bit of logic, because you might say, if everybody's running in a race, and we're all supposed to run, and we're all supposed to run to win, then how come only one guy gets the prize? That makes a whole lot of us a bunch of losers. Ah, Paul is saying the race that God has put in front of you, you win it. You run it. That means each and every one of us, God has given us, and we'll get into this more next week, God has given us the challenge and the call to run, to win what he's given you to do, the opportunity. You see this all of a sudden? That's why the Bible says those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You don't compare yourself to Billy Graham. You don't compare yourself to the person to the left or to the right of you. God says, listen, you compare yourself to the mandate I've given you. You say, what if I don't know what it is? That is your handicap, my friend. You better find out. And let me say this. Are you sitting down? People are going to freak when I say this, but I challenge you to prove this wrong. You're not going to find it in church. What God has for you to do, you to do, you're not going to find it in church. You're not going to find it in a book. You're not going to find it in a small group. You're not going to find it with your prayer partner. You're not going to find it with nobody. Unless you get alone with God. Because if somebody can encourage you, tell you, persuade you, influence you to do thus and so, then someone can discourage you, hurt you, and criticize you, and talk you out of it. Are you with me? All those things I mentioned a moment ago are fine, but not when it comes to you running your race. You need to find out what God's called you to do, Christian, because God is faithfully, even today, and he has been all your life. He's been doling out opportunities. Let's keep going. But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, he says, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. What is that? Honestly, the laurel wreath. In the Olympics in those days, you got a laurel put on your head, like an olive branch wrapped up in a circle. That's what the winner gets. That's it. No Wheaties box endorsements. Nope. No gold. Nope. That wasn't until the Olympics came much later in the Greek Empire, Roman world. But we, that is, we do it for an imperishable crown, one that's not going to evaporate. Therefore, I run, says Paul, thus not with uncertainty. Can you imagine running with uncertainty? You know what that looks like? Have you ever seen somebody running with uncertainty? Some of you can do this today. You can go home and cut the head off of your chicken and then let it go. That's uncertainty. Running like crazy, ain't saying nothing, no clear direction. Paul says, I don't run like that. Paul says, I am so aimed, I am so focused in my Christian walk that heaven and hell is not going to knock me off the course. Demon or angel can't sway me. I know Christ Jesus. He told me what to do, and I'm doing it, and I'm going to finish that course, and I'm going to run. When Paul was in the Mamertine prison getting ready to get his head cut off, he was still running. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Wouldn't that be funny? What a weird-looking guy boxing, and he's just floundering around. No. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Isn't that amazing? Worship is all we get to do right now until we see him face to face. Do you understand that? If worship's not a big deal in your life, you need to check your heart to see if you even know who Jesus Christ is. You say, Pastor, that's strong words, man. I'm not coming back with words like that. Isn't it interesting? In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus said in John 5, 17, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. In Revelation 3:8, check this out. Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, not Pennsylvania, Turkey, I know your works. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian, God is looking into your life and he's saying, Mark, Karen, I know your works. Your works. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, opportunities to advance the kingdom. And no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You've kept my word and you've not denied my name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When Jesus Christ Judges Us. It's actually a series taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is where the Apostle Paul declares that we as believers will, quote, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, When Jesus Christ Judges Us is actually a multi-part miniseries taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through 2 Corinthians, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And speaking of this particular topic, Pastor Jack has a great series of lessons on this subject on MP3 CD. It's called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? How Do We Get From Here to Heaven features a total of 17 messages in all, which focus on what Scripture says is required for us to spend eternity with our Creator. How Do We Get From Here to Heaven on MP3 CD. It's yours for your contribution of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. So call, click, or write today. Just be sure to mention it by name. How Do We Get From Here to Heaven on MP3 CD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You want to reach us by phone? Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Want to reach us by mail? Send your gift to Real Radio, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.